Hello, welcome to the THC show. I'm your host, Jericho Spitz. That's my logo. Shameless plug. Thanks, Holly, for drawing that for me. You're a beast at the art thing. Anyway, I just want to welcome you all here to an ongoing dialogue about higher consciousness. Started this about a year ago, and while we haven't been able to do an episode every week, nowhere near it. I do believe that I will be able to get an episode in every week for at least the coming foreseeable future for the next few months. It is approximately just after 9 o'clock on Monday, October the 21st, 2019. And there's a lot going on in this country right now, a lot going on in the world right now, a lot going on in my consciousness right now. I'm hoping that some of you guys join in to participate in this dialogue with me. I'm going to have the phone lines open, and I anticipate having some people call in to discuss some of the things that we want to talk about. For now, I'm going to talk about the things on my mind and some of the things that have been on my mind lately that, wow, that need to be brought to the forefront and need to be discussed by America. Some of the things that America just seems to not be aware of. Well, some Americans, but for the most part, there's a lot of things that all of us are not that aware of that I want to bring to the forefront. We're waiting for a few more people to start watching the show, but why don't I just dig right in and start getting the show on the road? So one of the first topics that I'd like to discuss is going to be entheogens. And I'm not sure how many of you know or don't know what entheogens are, but just a generic definition of it, I guess, would be plant-based substances that cause spiritual states of awareness. Or better yet, why don't we go and see what the dictionary says. A chemical substance typically of plant origin that is ingested to produce a non-ordinary state of consciousness for religious or spiritual purposes. Wikipedia says an entheogen is a class of psychoactive substances that induce any type of spiritual experience aimed at development or sacred use. The term entheogen is often chosen to contrast recreational use of the same drugs. Now, I've even heard someone say alcohol was an entheogen. I guess it can be used in a spiritual manner. I'm not familiar with how to do that and probably would never do that, but just for the record, it can be done. What I would like to say is that very recently, Chicago, after Denver and Oakland, made certain entheogens legal, psilocybin mushrooms specifically being one of the most popular entheogens that have been made legal by Oakland and Denver, and now Chicago, landmark legislation. This is historical, people. This is historical legislation because here we have psychoactive plant-based medicines that have been used for millennia by indigenous people the world over to heal, to assist psychologically in various ways. And these things were outlawed after the conquistadors came to the New World and ravaged the indigenous people living here, stripping them of their culture, language, and a lot of different things in a systematic way to root out anything that didn't conform to the Christian worldview that the conquistadors held at that time. And it's taken hundreds of years in order for us to regain those birthright substances and to be able to use them with impunity and without fear of any retribution from the government. So one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up is because I know a lot of people who have been having various issues throughout the years that I have been able to assist in healing through the use of various plant-based entheogens, or just entheogens in general, namely Aya, DMT, Changa, 4-ACO, DMT. These substances, like peyote, salvia, there's so many iboga, there's so many different plant-based substances, and throughout the whole plant kingdom, herbs, different things that can be used to heal and to help, and have been, but these are the main ones that have been outlawed and have now begun to be made legal again by major cities. Denver is a major city. It's one thing to make marijuana, cannabis legal, but now psilocybin mushrooms. I mean, I can look back not too long ago where to a time when I just didn't see something like psilocybin mushrooms being made legal. Not only are they being made legal, there is a psilocybin clinic in some cities already. There's one in Oakland. There's one in, I believe there's some in Oregon, but I know that there's one in Chicago now. And this is to treat PTSD and depression and things like that. Now, I've known, shamans have known for years that these things can treat PTSD or these things can treat depression and maladies similar to depression. But it's just really something that makes me smile, knowing that these things are being made legal now and that indigenous people in this country, at least, will now in certain cities and probably soon the whole country over, will be able to resurrect or bring back their old traditional ways of healing rather than having to go to a doctor and get a pill like Xanax or some other pharmaceutical to treat things like depression or postpartum depression or PTSD or anything to heal a trauma, you know, because some of these plant-based medicines are pretty much side effect free or harmful side effect free. So to not have a side effect is what everyone wants in any kind of medication or any kind of, you know, way that they're going to treat themselves. So let's start by talking about side effects. Let's say you have pain. There's tinctures and different oils and lotions that have been made from THC oil and CBD and cannabinoids that you can rub on yourself for pain. And if you add THC to your body, the only side effects that you're going to experience are possibly an appetite increase, possibly a happy-go-lucky feeling of euphoria, a state of stress-free, giggly, if you will, a state of consciousness that is going to have you a lot in a much happier space. And then the only other side effect from THC that I can that I think would even be worthy of note would be short-term memory loss. Now, none of the things that I just mentioned are harmful to the human body. Short-term memory loss, I guess, could possibly be the only thing about cannabis that someone might say that this isn't a good thing. Anything else, can't imagine it. But when you take some of the other pain medications that are given from the pharmaceutical industry to people, such as the various opioids, let's just start with the various opioids. The side effects from these things, I mean, have ruined lives because of not only the addictive qualities inherent in opiates and distilled opiates in general, but the overdose factor and the ability to easily overdose on some of these things. Because when you get into some of the higher potency opioids, such as morphine, Oxycontin, different things like fentanyl, carfentanil, the size of these doses are so minute that someone who's not good in math or someone who's not paying attention can very, very, very easily overdose on these things, which is why that's probably the leading cause of death in America today. And if not, well, they're definitely saying in the media, in the mainstream media even, that overdosing on prescription drugs, on pharmaceuticals, is the leading cause of death in the United States. This is pretty much what the mainstream media is saying. Now, whether that is opioids or not, that's another story, but I would assume that that's what the deal is. So, that being said, now that Chicago, where I just moved from to Florida, Chicago just made all entheogens legal. So now if someone has depression or PTSD, rather than go and take a pill like Xanax, Klonopin, Vyvanse, or a million other psychoactive medications that, you know, affect your mind and have some of the worst side effects and addictive qualities, now someone in Chicago can go to a shaman or to maybe one of these psilocybin clinics that are opening up where you could actually have a trained doctor, someone who's trained by the medical establishment. If you only trust the American Medical Association and what they prescribe, then now you can go to a doctor who can actually give you psilocybin mushrooms or some other form of psilocybin to treat the PTSD or the depression. And guess what the side effects will be? Joy, happiness, feel good, with nothing harmful being done to your body, other than possibly a slight nausea if you didn't fast properly before using the psilocybin substance. But I personally have a mushroom tattooed on my stomach, and I have another one tattooed on my arm that show my evolution from my animal nature up through to the eye, opening my third eye, showing how I use these substances throughout my past to overcome my own mental maladies, if you will. And I've never had a negative side effect from any of these other than nausea when I didn't properly fast before using them. So along the way to becoming a shaman, well-versed in entheogens, and not only entheogens, but in psychology and health, I use these substances and a few other substances as well, and I've become pretty well versed on what the side effects are. And I, for one, hope and pray that any of you out there that are having any issues with depression or any issues with PTSD, childhood trauma, anything that you feel like could be a mental block to your progress as a consciousness trying to evolve, I would hope that you take a look at psilocybin as an option for treatment before taking harmful pharmaceuticals that are known to have side effects and addictive qualities or properties. Now, I want to say that what we've done in our society is we've taken the job of a shaman, which is an ancient job, thousands of years ago. And according to archaeology, paleontology, and some of the findings of some of our scientists around the world, we know that the job of a shaman has been around for at least 60,000 years. There's pretty much conclusive scientific evidence to prove and for us to know that shamans were treating people with herbs, herbal medicines, things like cannabis, things like hemp, mushrooms, these things, ayahuasca. I mean, there's archaeological evidence to show that the ingredients, the recipe for ayahuasca was known in 47,000 BC. So if this job has been around for 50,000 years, I'm not going to be able to honor a government that's going to make it illegal. And this government's only been around for 400 years. I'm sorry. I think that we should reinvestigate, we should reanalyze what's being done here by this plant. And so I'm saying all that to say that shamans have been around for a lot longer than we've had doctors. Shamans have been around a lot longer than we've had psychiatrists and psychologists. And shamans have been around a lot longer than we've had priests and different clergymen. So these three different categories of people that we go to with our problems, doctors or health professionals, clergymen, and psychologists or psychiatrists, these are three jobs that were taken from the shaman. The shaman thousands of years ago up until now has always been the person you could go to in your society who was the doctor, who was the healer, who was the psychiatrist, the psychologist, and who was the priest or the clergyman or the holy man or woman. So what I'm hoping is that as a species, as a country, definitely as a city, Chicago, I'm hoping that the position of a shaman is going to be restored back to the proper respectful position that it should have, because we fail as a society, we fail when we do a half-assed job. And for someone to think that a doctor who has not been trained in spirit or has not been trained in mental health, but only knows how to fix physical body parts, a doctor can't properly do his job when he only knows how to fix physical body parts, but he's not incorporating spirit and the mind in that process. And a priest would do the same thing. You can't fix someone's spirit without also knowing how that ties into the mind and the body. And you can't be a psychiatrist and fix the mind without knowing how that ties into the body and the spirit. So that being said, I believe that it is a major, major, major win for the people that entheogens are being legalized and being decriminalized in our country, so that the position of the shaman can be restored. Because for someone to help heal you, they need to heal all of you, because you're not just your mind, you're not just your spirit, and you're not just your body. So that being said, I just want to give a really, really big shout out to the internal government of Chicago, the mayor, Lightfoot, thank you, and everybody who was involved with this landslide legislation that has now paved the way for shamanic healing to occur once again in Chicago, a city that drastically, drastically needs shamanic healing. Now that we've discussed this a little bit, I want to give a warning, not just about entheogens, but also about cannabis, because there's something that a lot of people aren't talking about, and I think that people need to be talking about this. We have now become so happy and excited and enthusiastic about some of the things that we've been denied access to becoming legal now and becoming decriminalized, that we're not paying attention to the negative side of this and how this can be used to harm us or to limit us or to be used to further control us. And here's one example of what I mean. Gun control is a really big issue in this country. And everybody has the side that they take. You either for them or you're against them, and you have your reasons why you are or not. Now, I believe that the founding fathers of this country were pretty intelligent. And I believe that when they wrote the Constitution and instilled in the Constitution that every citizen should have the right to bear arms, I believe that that was done for the purpose of us being able to defend ourselves as a country against a world where guns exist. Now, maybe you don't want a gun, and that's okay if you don't want a gun. But I think that denying the right of any citizen or any person on the planet, denying the right of someone to own a gun when there are other people on the planet and outside of our country who have guns, then you're taking away my right to defend my home, my children, my own life, my body, my property. So that being said, whether you're for or against guns, this would definitely be something that people who are for guns want to specifically pay attention to. if you are so happy that they've made weed legal and you jump to go get a medical card, or not medical card, but, you know, if you jump to go smoke weed and you, you know, if you have a medical card for marijuana, you have just barred yourself from gun ownership. That is a very, very, very big thing. And if you don't understand that, I want you to think about that for a little while. Because not only will you not be able to own a gun now, but you may not ever be able to own a gun for the rest of your life if the government has on record that you have used marijuana. That is powerful, people. That is very powerful. Now, that being said, we're not sure what the laws are going to be just yet, but as these entheogens are becoming decriminalized, maybe we could have the same issue. Not only are you not going to be able to own a gun, but you also may not be able to drive for companies to have an employment that requires you to drive. For example, if you were to go take a CDL test, they're going to actually require you to give them a hair sample. And if you give them a hair sample and there's marijuana in it, there's cocaine in it, there's any of these drugs in it, then you're going to be barred from employment. And now it's on record, and maybe for the rest of your entire life, you may be barred from that type of employment because you needed to use this marijuana for one illness that you had. So if you had an illness that required marijuana use, or any reason that THC had to enter your body, you could be barred for life from owning a gun, from having any type of employment that required you to drive. And in the future, this could get even tighter. Maybe they even might even bar people from driving, period, if you have used, or they think that it's possible you could be using these substances. So all I'm saying is be very, very, very careful before you go diving into the things that they're making legal now, because there's always a reason for everything. And if you don't know and don't think that the system is involved with more than you may be aware of with regard to these things, I want you to think about this. Before weed became legal in California, get on Google and find out how much land Philip Morris, the cigarette company, bought in California before weed became legal. So I'm going to leave it at that and let you do your own research, because this same thing is gonna be applying to psilocybin and other entheogens that they are gonna be decriminalizing. And as they're able to prove that you used one of these things, this could be used to bar you from who knows what in the future. So just go into these things easily, lightly. Don't, you know, go messing up your future because you wanted to trip. You know what I mean? These are not, and I know that a lot of people use a lot of different entheogens as a drug rather than something for healing, but I just want to make it plain and clear that as a shaman, I can't recommend anyone using mushrooms for anything other than healing. I used to have a different view on these things, but as I've grown as a shaman and as I've grown as a consciousness, I want to warn people to make sure that you understand that these are not toys. This is not fun and games. These are things that you can use to heal a human life. So that being said, I want to step into another topic that ties into this that has nothing to do with guns, but has a lot to do with substances that we crave that are being decriminalized and that can be used to harm us in a totally different way. Now, some of you who may have been paying attention to me in previous episodes have heard me mention the fact that a technology exists that can be used to harm specific races of people through produce. It's called RNA interference technology. And it's basically genetic manipulation of produce, of a certain plant that people of different races can eat, and it can be used to harm people of one specific race, but not others. And if you don't understand this, please get on Google and type in RNA interference technology conspiracy, or RNA interference technology weapon. Put that behind it. This is a silent weapon for a quiet war. And there are people who believe that this technology is already being used to sterilize black men in America. And if you don't know that black men in America have lower sterility rates than others, and it's dropping, if you don't know that, Google that. It's happening. It's true. Why? What's the cause of it? It could be RNA interference technology. It could be something else. It could be diet, because, you know, TV tells us to eat a lot of bad stuff and we do it. So who knows what the actual reason is, but it definitely is something that we need to be paying attention to as a country and as a species, because the cat's out of the bag. RNA interference technology is known about worldwide. So you really need to be paying attention to the food that you're putting into your body, because we don't know. If you're not growing it, you don't know what it is. That's the bottom line. So I myself personally have went from eating everything growing up, everything from pork, every type of meat, you know, every type of garbage, every fast food. I grew up eating everything in South Carolina. I moved to Chicago at 21 and I stopped eating pork when I was about 20, 21 years old. And then it took a few more years, about maybe 10 years before I stopped eating red meat, probably like 30 or so. I stopped eating red meat, and about, say, 7 years ago, I stopped eating meat altogether, but I would eat seafood every once in a while. And now at 43 years old, I have experimented with a few different diets, like full veganism, but then, you know, I loved eggs and I loved honey. So I could never really call myself a true vegan, but at the same time, vegetarianism, plant-based diet, I know is the healthiest thing for me personally. I can't speak for everybody else. I mean, I personally believe that, you know, carnivores have all the tools necessary on their body to eat meat, but that's a whole nother story, you know. What I would like to say, though, is that in light of everything that I've been learning lately about RNA technology and about all of the genetics that are going on with regard to food, I'm really, and not only that, meat glue. If you don't know what meat glue is and you are a carnivore, you eat meat and you don't know what meat glue is, you need to get on Google, because your thoughts might change about meat eating once you learn what meat glue is and how it's being used in every restaurant to feed garbage to people. You get a nice big juicy steak and it looks perfect, like a perfect steak. It might not have looked like that before that. It might have been old. They have this stuff that they make from pig's blood, a coagulant in pig's blood or cow's blood. They take that coagulant and use it to glue meat back together that is garbage meat, and they make you eat it thinking that is brand new, fresh meat. If you don't understand this and you don't know nothing about this, I would really admonish you to get on Google and search for meat glue. This is something that every meat eater needs to be aware of. It will really change your mind about what you're eating. Long story short, I want to talk about RNA interference technology and how it applies to marijuana use and entheogen use, because these are plants that we're putting into our body. Now, If a geneticist, a plant geneticist, can take an orange seed and grow an orange tree that, say, it targets Chinese people, and anyone Chinese that eats this orange, it can make them sterile, or it can make their eyes blue, or it can make their hair blonde. This is the type of genetics that's available today. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is technology that has been available, but now it's really publicly known. If they can do that, how are you aware? How can you be sure that they're not doing that to you right now? How do you know that the oranges you're eating, the apples you're eating, the bananas you're eating, the collard greens you're eating, the vegetables and fruits that you are eating, how do you know that they're not harming you, your race? How do you know that a geneticist hasn't targeted your race with sterility or some other disease that they can give to you through foods that you're eating? How do you know that that's not happening? The only way I think that you can know that is to grow your own food. And that's very, very difficult or impossible for most of us. So I think that learning about the technology, spreading the awareness about this technology so that more of us know about this technology, so that our legislators know about this technology. There's probably a lot of congressmen and senators who have no idea what RNA technology is. Maybe they'd know if you told them. Maybe you need to send a letter to your congressman and say, hey, are you aware this is going on? Can we ban this technology? Because yeah, there's probably some good uses that for RNA interference technology. But do you trust Monsanto? Do you trust companies like that? That are known for that are known for being very negative entities in what they do and how they operate. And I could go on and on and on, but all you have to do is get on Google. And it's, you know, there's a lot that you can learn about some of these genetics companies and what they do. And oh my God, it's a rabbit hole. So anyway, how this applies to the entheogens, how RNA technology can apply to the entheogens is like this. They are going to make it really, really difficult for the little man on the totem pole to grow mushrooms and give them to the public. So no matter how good-hearted and no matter how experienced and educated a shaman and herbalist may be, to grow their own psilocybin mushrooms and give them to the public is going to either become illegal, or it's going to become so regulated that it's almost impossible to do, or it's going to, this is what Monsanto does to small farmers. They put like 90% of the farmers in the United States are out of business now, so that we are dependent on them for food. We have to depend on people for food who could possibly be targeting us with sterility. This is serious, people. So what I'm saying is because they're making these entheogens legal, now what would we do if these entheogens are having RNA interference technology used on them, so that when you eat these magic mushrooms, or when you eat this, or when you ingest this salvia, or this ayahuasca, or DMT, or this aboga, that the government is sanctioning and approving Monsanto or one of these other companies to create for you, how do you know that mushroom isn't making you sterile? You don't. So what I'm getting at, the point I'm trying to make here, is that there's a technology that we need to be aware of. And while we don't need to be in fear, we need to be aware and we need to be proactive to make sure that the people who are going to be creating these entheogen-based medicines and I guess they're going to be entheogen-based pharmaceuticals that people are going to be taking. Like, we need to be aware of who we're dealing with and what we're dealing with, and make sure that they aren't harming us through the use of these. Like, a lot of people believe Black men in America are being harmed by produce that has been affected by RNA interference technology. This is serious and it's real. And I just hope that more of us become aware of this, spread awareness of this. And I hope that some type of legislation can be put into place that can keep us all safe from negative people who mean us harm from being able to use these as a weapon against us. If you don't know anything about silent weapons for quiet wars, like I said in last episode, I really recommend you to go get an older book from the like 1990. It's by William Cooper, and it's called Behold the Pale Horse. Once again, Behold the Pale Horse by William Cooper. He outlines, this guy was like naval intelligence, and he released a whole lot of documents. He was like a Snowden, kind of a whistleblower guy. He released a lot of documents on the Bushes and the Clintons and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and a whole lot of different government entities, basically exposing the whole deep state. And that's why they killed the guy. He was out in Colorado. The guy had one leg, and the cop said, the sheriff said that, oh, he got out of his car. He was chasing him and running. He was running. A guy with one leg was running from the cops, turning around, shooting back at him, and they shot and killed this guy. He had a baby, a wife, and they killed him because he exposed the deep state. Anyway, I'm just saying all this to say that I want you guys to be informed. And not only do I want you to be informed, I want you to spread this information to other people who you know that that this would matter to, because there's a lot of people, 3 million plus people in Chicago, and a lot of those people are going to be wanting to use these entheogens to heal themselves, maybe to party with or whatever. And I would just recommend that you know where you're getting these substances from. I think that the very best thing that someone could do if they wanted to use some of these decriminalized substances is to grow your own. Get legacy seeds that were around before all this genetic manipulation started, before Monsanto started. Get your own seeds and grow your own cannabis. Get spores that are legacy spores, older spores, and grow your own mushrooms. It's not that difficult to do, but you can look yourself in the eye in the mirror and know that you're not harming yourself and not allowing a pharmaceutical company or one of these other companies that are tied into one of these secret societies that are doing harm to us, you're not allowing them to harm you, because you really don't want to do that. I mean, right now, I'm dealing with a lot of people, not a lot, but a few people in my family that are having health issues. And we've been talking about ways to heal. And that's, and a lot of what we're talking about right now is coming up in these conversations. And I just want you guys to have the tools to heal yourself in the best way possible and to be safe doing it. So that being said, we can get to another topic now. I just really, really wanted to touch base on RNA interference technology, cannabis and entheogen decriminalization, and how this could possibly use to harm you. So just because they decriminalize something doesn't mean, oh, jump for joy, this is the happiest day in the world. Yeah, but if you get something good from the government, believe me, it's coming packaged with something bad. That's our government. So I'm going to leave it at that and let you guys go off and do your own research. If anybody has anything to share or say on this topic, please call in right now, 312-834-3420. Let's talk about it. I'd love to hear some ideas. I'm not saying that everything that I say on this topic is correct. I'm just giving you the best that I can from my own personal research. I would love for anybody with any expertise on this matter to please call in or leave a comment. Please join the dialogue here, and let's figure out what the truth is to the best of our ability, and let's spread that truth. Let's come up with solutions that we can use to move forward safely with some of these substances. Oh, you like this hat? The THC Show. It was a gift to me by my dear friend, Chicago House Music DJ Randall Dean. Thank you, brother. You are the bomb. He just went to Amsterdam with another DJ friend of mine, Russell Pike, and they went to go spin at the Chicago Beatdown in Amsterdam, and I heard that they really, really tore it up. So anyway, just wanted to give a shout out because I love the hat. Thank you. I will use this to promote everything that I do. You are the man. So now we've got 6 listeners here, and I appreciate you guys for joining in. You guys are awesome and amazing, and let's see what we're doing here. Who is here? Well, thank you guys for joining in. And the phone line is open at 312-834-3420. If anybody wants to join in, please call in, or you can leave a comment right here and I'll read your comments if you don't want to have your voice on the show. But what I'll do now is move on to the next topic that I wanted to discuss. Well, first of all, one more thing that I wanted to discuss before I get off on the topic of entheogens, which have now been made illegal in Chicago as of a day or two ago. One of the things that I want to throw out there is that the Olmecs, the Zapotecs, the Mayans, and the Aztecs all used peyote, which contains mescaline. They all used magic mushrooms, which contain psilocybin. They all use the seeds of the Oluliki, which is Turbina corumbosa, and that contained LSD, a natural form of LSD. So I'm pretty sure that all of these things are going to be legal in Chicago now. And these are things that indigenous people in the New World have used for, you know, 1,000 years or more. And I'm hoping and praying that that you guys are able to access these things and use them to help yourself in any way that you need. And I hope that these things are not going to be tainted by geneticists using RNA technology against us. So now with that out of the way, I'm going to go into the next thing. One of the things that I've been bringing to the forefront with people in my family who have who are having health issues is cannabis, CBD and THC, and the medical uses of the cannabis plant. This is a very, very big topic, and I hope that you guys are listening hard to what I'm about to present. My whole family's Jehovah's Witnesses, and I came up in a very strict kind of culture with regard to drugs and with regard to a lot of things like that. And to the point that some people who are Jehovah's Witnesses, and maybe even other people who are in Christian sects that are strictly Bible-oriented, they believe that drugs, like things that have been made illegal by the government, are all bad things. And if they don't see it in the Bible, then it must be a bad thing. But what people have failed to realize, what I failed to realize in reading the entire Bible 8 times, studying so much commentary on the Bible, etymology on the Bible, and studying the Bible my entire life, I was 43 years old before I just discovered a few months ago that cannabis actually is in the Bible. Not only is it in the Bible, it's all through the Bible. It has been mistranslated, mistransliterated, but now the truth has come to light. A Polish or maybe Serbian born etymologist discovered this, that something that was being translated as calamus was actually cannabis. There is a Hebrew term, K-A-N-E-H, kane, new word, B-O-S-M, bosom. Kane bosom is cannabis in the Bible. It is all through the Old Testament. I would love to admonish you guys to get on Google. If you don't know that cannabis is in the Bible, and if you have anybody in your family that is refusing CBD or THC as a treatment because they think that God said you can't have this, show them that kane bosom is in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. Moses used it. Jesus used it. These were in the anointing oils. Every king was anointed with the oil that had cannabis in it. And if you don't know this, you need to get on Google. There's an article on Vice about it. And I mean, now that cannabis is legal, I'm pretty sure that this is only going to spread, and more research is going to be done into this now that it's been discovered in the Bible. So keep that in mind as you move forward looking for various medical treatments for different ailments, because cannabis can be used to treat a lot of things. This is actually a very, very holy plant. God, Jehovah, Allah, whatever you choose to call the creator put cannabis here, not man. Man has tried to control us and to keep us limited by taking away the freedom that cannabis and hemp as a plant would give to a society. But, you know, we're growing, we're learning. So anyway, right now, what I would like to do is get into another topic. So we have the holidays coming up right now, different holidays. We're about a week or so away from Halloween. And I know that there's a lot of different opinions about Samhain or Halloween, All Hallows Eve, being such a negative day for pagans, witches, demon worshipers, and this kind of thing. And I just want to say that I don't care. Be you, be weird, enjoy yourself, but be careful out here, because there's a lot going on in the country that we live in with regard to race. And I don't want to put any fear in anyone. I want to only put awareness and caution into people. every day I get on Facebook, I'm seeing multiple instances of new incidences of Black people being targeted by police officers. And in some of these cases, people were doing nothing or next to nothing, slightly things. But in a lot of these cases, people were doing nothing wrong at all but driving while Black. Or in their yard, a family, three or four people in a family got arrested for loitering, for being in their own front yard on their own property. When it becomes such an issue that people of color are in fear of existing in their own home, like that woman who just got shot in Texas for being in her own home, when it becomes a problem of that magnitude, this melting pot could boil over. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that the police in this country, the police who are not racist, I'm hoping that the police who took an oath that they plan to uphold with integrity will start to talk to the officers that they know are racist and let those officers know that they need to straighten up or they're going to be moved on. I hope and pray that the officers of every race and color who know that they have brothers in blue on the force who are not upholding their oath by serving and protecting the people, but are using their badge and their power to intimidate and to harm and to destroy lives, I'm hoping that you take it upon yourself to do what you swore an oath to do. And when you see these officers breaking the law, then you arrest them because they are criminals. And if you don't do that, then you're a criminal. And I hope you go to jail for not upholding your oath and for abusing your authority by allowing them to commit crimes against people they're supposed to be serving and protecting. That being said, I love you guys. I don't just love Black people. I don't just love white people. I don't just love Asians. I don't just love Latinos. I don't just love people. I love animals. I love plants because I'm love. And if you're not love, we need to figure out how to get you to be love. And if you don't know how to move towards love, hit me up, DM me, call me. You have my number. I'm here as a shaman, as a friend, as a teacher to help people figure out how to go from being negative people who don't know how to focus on love to being positive, love-based people who know how to focus on love. I was not always a shaman. I was not always someone who has the education on love that I have and on how to be love, but I figured it out. And I had help along the way, and I can only pay that forward. So people who don't know how to focus on love and be love and control their emotions, there are people like me who are out here who can help you in learning how to do that. And that's what I'm here for. That's what I want to do. I'm actually right now taking a master herbalist class because I want to supplement my shaman education with not only the herbs and the substances and the plants that I know how to use to assist people with, such as ayahuasca, changa, mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms, 4-ACO, DMT. These things, even LSD, all of these things can be used shamanically to assist someone in overcoming trauma and overcoming stress and overcoming depression and getting to a place where you are focused on love. And when you're focused on love, that's about the closest that I think you can get to God and still be in a human body, because that's what Jesus was. He was the human embodiment of love. Am I correct? I mean, for those of you who believe in Jesus, if he was a man that existed on this planet, then he was the embodiment of love. And I think that that's the closest that you can get to being God. So I want to only exist as that. That being said, no one has called in. I can't believe it. I thought for sure that somebody was going to call in, and nobody hasn't. So I'm going to probably, I guess, wrap up the show. It's been almost an hour. So if nobody has anything that they want to talk about, and nobody leaves a comment or calls the phone line, then I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show up for tonight. And I will be back next Monday at roughly 9 o'clock to do this all over again. I pray that you guys share my show. If you have not, then if you have not come across my podcast on anchor.fm, then I would pray that you would go to anchor.fm and listen to my episodes there, and even subscribe. You can actually subscribe to the THC Show with Jericho Spitz on several different platforms. I'm available on 7 platforms. Those platforms are Spotify. I'm available on Stitcher. I'm available on Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Breaker. I'm going to be RSS feeding my podcast to a lot of different places so that the THC show can be available worldwide. And I would appreciate that if you can't support my podcast by going to anchor.fm/the THC show and sponsoring my show there. I have a few options. You can sponsor my show for 99 cents a month, for $4.99 a month, $9.99 a month, or whatever you choose. I would appreciate it. It would help me to produce future episodes of the show. So please support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. I mean, I would thank you for any support that you can give. And I also wanted to say that I will be extending an invitation for any geniuses who have, you don't have to be a genius, we're all geniuses, but I mean, anyone who would like to guest host the show or interview on the show about any specific topics that are relating to higher consciousness, please call me at 312-834-3420 or message me on Facebook. And I will see what we can do about getting you on a future episode, because like I said, this dialogue is supposed to be shared amongst our peers. It's not just about me and my thoughts and my expertise or education, but this dialogue is supposed to be all of us sharing information and dialoguing about how we can all grow consciously. So that being said, please tune in next Monday at 9 o'clock. Please tell your friends about Talking Higher Consciousness. Join my Facebook group at facebook.com/the THC show. If you have not already joined the Facebook group. So wait a second here. Oh yeah. So if you've not already joined the Facebook group, please go to Facebook and join THC Talking Higher Consciousness. If you do a search for THC Talking Higher Consciousness on Facebook, you'll easily be able to find the group. Join the group. Invite your friends to the group, your family to the group, anyone that you feel like would benefit from higher consciousness information. Anybody that you know is seeking spirituality or seeking higher consciousness or seeking health and healing, or is able to provide any spiritual direction or any education on higher consciousness or any help and healing. I mean, anyone who has anything to offer to this dialogue, invite them to the group and ask them to please tune in next Monday and every Monday at 9 o'clock and add their expertise to this dialogue. It's not just about me. This is about all of us. So that being said, if no one leaves a comment or calls right now, I am going to end this episode. I'm going to sign out. I'm Jericho Spitz. You are watching episode 5, season 1 of Talking Higher Consciousness. Thank you for joining, and good night. I love you guys. Peace.